Welcome back to Tentacles from the Deep, a Seattle Kraken podcast. Once again, I am joined by Jim, who has now a new title on this show. He's not just a guest. He is now a rookie wingman on the show, as I am the crafty veteran centerman. Much like Mary Lemieux did for Sidney Crosby when he was a rookie, I will guide Jim along his journey of recording a hockey podcast, I suppose.
Woohoo!
Jim, how are you? And congratulations on your new position as a rookie wingman.
On my promotion? Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm excited about this. This is fun. Like I said last show, man, I'm hooked on hockey, baby.
Yeah, maybe last night might have cut down on your addiction just a little bit, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Like Jim's show, the Old Man Podcast with Gina, Joe, and Eric, this podcast is a hockey pass podcast. You can actually play with your kids around. We're not really swearing all that much, and we're not going to talk about hockey subculture, which tends to be 18 plus most of the time. So feel free, if your kids are into hockey, let them listen with you. They might leave in 5 minutes. I know mine would, but you know, you can try it. Jim, before we get too far into the Kraken stuff, did you know today in 1980 is when the Miracle on Ice happened?
Yes, I saw that. I saw that that being mentioned in the news. And it wasn't too long ago that I actually saw that movie for the first time. That was some pretty exciting stuff. And it's funny because I remember that Olympic year. And I remember when that happened, you know. But I wasn't into hockey, so I didn't really watch the games. I mean, I was excited that the USA won. I didn't really know the intense of that win with Russia. I did live it. I did live through it, you know. So, but yeah, I do now, and I appreciate that event more now than I did back then. Being a hockey
fan. And actually, like, there's a few players that went on to Hall of Fame careers from that team, like Neil Broughton, I think. He was on that team as a youngster. He was like, it was like this year's Olympic team with all the college kids. So he was a college guy. And he went on to have a very good career with the Minnesota North Stars, who turned into the Dallas Stars years later. Herb Brooks went on to be a Stanley Cup winning general manager in the NHL and a coach. So there's a lot of guys that actually got their start with USA Hockey at the Miracle on Ice. Because it was so significant in the States, you've seen a lot of people get chances further up the chain in hockey based on doing it.
And I guess the people that made the movie tried to show that game as close to what the game really was. And
yeah, they did. I've seen some behind the scenes, and there was like some very intense video stuff and whatnot. And I guess there was guys like in like full hockey gear and on skates on the ice for like 16 hours at a time. And they're like getting 5 minutes of a scene because they have to make it as real as possible. So it's like you watch 5 seconds of tape, do the movements, stop, go back, watch the tape.
Yeah. The sad thing, about that, I don't know how many people realize it, that, but the coach of that team, I can't remember his name.
Herb Brooks.
Okay. But he, they went and they made the movie, and he was on, you know, he was there for the making of the movie, given all his insight to everything that was going on. And then he passed away and died before the movie was released. He never got to see the movie to its release date. And there's a real nice dedication to him at the end of that movie saying that even though he didn't get to see this movie finished, he lived the experience. So I thought that was a real nice tribute to him.
So now that we're got through hockey nostalgia in the first few minutes here, we'll get into the Kraken stuff. So first game, we'll go back to the Jets game from, I guess, probably about a week ago, I would say. It was about a week ago, and it was a relatively,
bringing up bad memories.
Relatively close game, but I didn't mind that game. That game wasn't that bad. That game wasn't that bad. I'm pretty sure they scored first and everything in that game. Try and find the game page.
I didn't think it was that bad either. The one thing being the novice, you know, this being my first year of really being in hockey, I remember seeing their first few games, and those games compared to this game, in my eyes, I see a lot of improvement. I mean, as far as the way they're playing the game. they seem like they've gone up the rung of the ladder a couple of rungs up the ladder and are playing better. Because I watch a lot of hockey. I mean, I watch a lot of different teams playing, and I think, you know, for any given day, like that game there, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm learning in hockey, it's just a matter of how that puck bounces. You know, I mean,
puck luck is a big thing.
Puck luck is a big thing. I've never heard that term, but you are absolutely correct.
Well, term in hockey for, like, just in certain games where, like, you'll be down 3-0. Like, the first goal, it was, like, a floater from the blue line. It hit the defenseman's skate, went off a player that was standing at the side of the net's butt, and then goes in the net. And it's, like, puck luck, you know? Like, the puck was just very lucky for you. It just did, like, good things for you. And then, like, another one will take, like, a weird bounce off the boards to the guy opening the front of the net, goes to the net. It's like, again, it's puck luck. Or it just seems like every bounce that could possibly go wrong goes wrong. Yeah. And the Kraken had a lot of this in this game, at least after about the first half of the game. So, if you don't remember, we were actually up 2-0 in that game, 12 minutes and 15 seconds in, as Vince Dunn and Marcus Johansson got their first two goals in that game. But that was... as much as we were happy about that, that was, of course, short-lived, as they got a shorthanded goal with 13 seconds left in the first period. And basically, at that point, it seemed to me as though the Seattle Kraken had this thought in their mind that they were done now. They just didn't have that drive. It seemed like they thought, like, oh, here we go again. We're going to give up another lead, and this game is going to go south. Happens with a lot of bad teams. It's like, you know, they get up 2-0, but the good team knows that they're good and they know that they can come back. They have that underlying confidence in themselves and in their game that they can come back. Whereas teams that are struggling, they get up 2-0, and the thing that's in the back of their mind, they're like, oh, please don't let them come back. We just don't let them come back. Don't let them come back. We can't get down, because if we get down, we're not going to come back. And, you know, that's kind of just what happened in this game, I thought, to where as much as the Kraken did play badly, they played okay. They played well enough to win in most cases, except Winnipeg's, and just how feisty they are, and just their self-knowing that they could come back, and they did. And that's kind of just how the game went. After that late goal for the first period, it went south.
It's kind of they have that air, like you said, they have that air of confidence, and the reason they have that confidence is because they've been there, done that. You know, they've been down, they've come back, they've won, you know, and they're able to reach back to those experiences and say, man, we've been here before. We've done it before. We can do it again. Now let's get after it. I mean, when I'm watching those games, that's how the other team looks to me. It's like they come out with that attitude. Okay, let's get after it. Let's get this, you know, and the Kraken are they like the opposite? It's like, oh, we've been here before and we've lost the game. I don't know. Okay, here, like you said, here we go again. You know, that's almost like two opposite sides of the coin right there in front of us. So,
well, I mean, that's why teams now have sports psychologists. That's why they have those people, because they understand that, like, The mental game is just as important as the physical game. You can have all the talent in the world, but if your mental game is piss poor and you have absolutely zero confidence in yourself, you can have all the talent in the world. It's not going anywhere for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes instead of this sports psychology thing, you know, like, come on, dig into your inner self and you can get this done now. You know, we got to be positive. I think what they need is someone to, like their dad, to just grab them by the shoulders and give them a big shake and yell at them, get it done. Let's go.
But hockey coaches do that enough. Ultimately, that's not working anymore, because the yelling and screaming is now wearing and tearing on their confidence. So, I mean, that probably does work in a lot of cases where some players can do that. But in other cases, the yelling and screaming has now gone into their head.
And speaking of coaches, it's nice to see our coach finally showing some emotion. I mean, that was one of my biggest gripes in the earlier games. It's like it seemed like he just stood there, you know,
I'm not really surprised by that, because he understands, like, the team's been together for, like, you know, 25 games. Uh-huh. It's like there hasn't been a long enough period of time, and there is a bunch of stoppages in there with various teams having their bouts of COVID early in the season, including the Kraken, and just like the influx of players in and out of the lineup. He's just like, there's no point in getting mad about this because they're not even able to be prepared for their games. Like, they're not able to. Now he's had time. He's had like 25 games to work on everything, as we said off the top. From the early season, they have improved a lot. They're a way better defensive team. They don't look like they're lost out there. And a lot of games, like, pretty much could think that, hey, they had some scoring. They could win this game.
Most and of the they've time. They've had some great victories. I mean, look at just, what is it, just a month ago? I mean, look at the teams they beat. I mean, they beat some top contenders.
They've also been really close on the same level with the contenders. They've also been really close. Like, mm-hmm. The next game we're going to look at is a team that has now, as of today, won 10 in a row. They won 9 in a row against the Kraken. But they're considered to be, like, a Stanley Cup contender in Calgary. And as we've seen, they only lost 2-1, but that was a phenomenal game.
It was.
You know, they played great that game. It mm-hmm. was back and forth, lots of great chances. You know, I don't think anybody in Kraken fan world minded that loss. That was, like, one of those losses. You're like, hey, we lost 2-1, but that was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was like a little bit of a mental breakdown, you know, for the score, you know, and even the players, you know, when they got scored on, they had that look on their face like, ah, man, how did we let that happen? But that next game. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by, you know, the games I looked when they first started to where they are basically now. I mean, well, even in yesterday's game, I mean, they, you know, yesterday's game, it's like they're just that first period, they're playing, they're getting it all done. And then all of a sudden, it's just like they just flipped the switch off, you know,
yeah,
to me anyway. Well,
I actually wanted to teach you some hockey slang.
Oh, so okay.
I got caught up in conversation and forgot to look back at my notes, and I skipped over a couple things, which is okay. So anyway, you actually had mentioned this on Twitter, in that game against the Jets, our friendly giant Oliniak threw a very nice pass right up the middle to the opposition, to the Winnipeg Jets, which caused a nice little rush coming back our way. And you're like, what the heck was that? And the hockey slang for that is a muffin, Jim.
A muffin.
A muffin. If a player, like, just kind of whimsically kind of lobs a puck up the middle to the opposition, they call that throwing the opposition a muffin. You know, it's just a muffin pass. So that would be a hockey slang for that. So that would be Oliniak tossing a muffin up the ice.
Oh,
where it's just an ugly giveaway, and it's just like, you know, every coach is like fuming at the ears, and his head's almost ready to blow off every time he sees a player do that. It's like, we taught you not to do that when you were 7 years old. You're 25, making $1 million a year. What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, no muffins, buddy. No muffins. Muffins. No, that's a cool muffins. Term. I like that. Gave him a muffin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like, because we're talking about some terms and whatever, I was thinking that this might be a good time to fill the listeners in on a little. Oh, right. And this was the game where we had the all black commentator crew, correct?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. 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 That was the game on the 17th.
Yes. This was the game where Fitz and JT Brown did the broadcast, becoming the first all black broadcast team, I'm assuming, for a hockey game. In the NHL, I think that's what it was for. I don't think that applied to other sports. It's just the NHL, yep. Right? Anyway, I was not able to get that feed. How did it go?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of Fitz. I like Fitz. I've listened to him on the radio, do a couple of games on the radio, and I'm a big fan of him. So when he came and was coming to the TV, I thought, this is great, you know. But he did great. I mean, he was good. Now, to say, was he better than the guy that does them normal, that John? No, I don't think he was any better. I don't think he was worse. I think both do their job and do it well.
I don't think it's fair to compare him to John Sportsland. John Sportsland's like a 20-year veteran.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
In the USA hockey play-by-play TV side of things. Like, he's been doing games for NBC for years, and then ESPN back when ESPN had the rights prior, back in like the 90s, early 2000s.
Right, so it'd be kind of a compliment for Everett to be compared to him, saying, yeah, he did just as good as John. So.
Yeah, if he did, because I'm in Canada, I think I got, like, the internet blocked me from watching that feed.
Oh.
They gave me the Winnipeg Jets feed. which is fine. I didn't mind. Like, it's TSN. I love TSN. So I didn't mind it. But, you know, I would have liked to be able to tune in for a few minutes of history being made. Sure. Instead of having to come on here and say, oh, yeah, history is made. And I have no idea how it went because, you know, I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, exactly. But now on the same token, JT.
Yes.
I'm not a JT fan. I haven't been a JT fan because, you know, I mean, I'm an old guy. I've watched a lot of sports, you know, where you have the play-by-play guys and you have the color commentator guys in there. And, oh, that's – as I said, color commentator.
We can go into it now, yeah.
Okay.
Or
you can
continue original thought and go into it, either or.
Yeah, for those that don't know, my wife, Grammy, she's black. And so we're watching the game and, you know, we got this whole thing, the historic event of two black guys calling a hockey game, you know, and I'm going, I don't care. Historic. I just want good commentators and I want good people. Well, JT up to this point is almost like not even there. He doesn't say anything unless he's asked. You know, he doesn't just jump in. And a color commentator, and I tell my wife, I go, yeah, JT's a terrible color commentator. And she looks at me and goes, what'd you just say? I said, well, JT's not a good colored commentator. And she goes, well, what is he? I mean, he's colored, right? And I go, no, that's not what I mean. I don't mean by because of his skin color, he's colored commentator. A color commentator is someone that fills in the gaps of the play-by-play guy, you know, with color commentating of the game. He might say stats, or he'll talk about what they need to do or what they're doing wrong. You know, they fill in. They might be a little funny here or there, but they fill in for the play-by-play guy because the play-by-play guy is just going 500 miles a minute with his words. And so the color commentator adds color to the commentator. And she goes, oh, okay, now I get it. she was looking at me like, that's a little bit racist, don't you think they're big guy? And it's like, no, you don't understand. So, but anyway, but now back to my point about JT. JT to me, you know, just wasn't very good at being a color commentator. You know, he would be really quiet unless they said, well, what do you think, JT? You know, and that. And so that leads up to that game. And the same thing with when the game was going on, Everett's talking, Fitz is talking, he's doing it, going, and then he'll take a break and it's dead silent.
Yeah.
And then Fitz would start talking again, you know, and then unless he called JT by name. I told my wife, I go, you know, Fitz has got enough experience under his belt that I could almost guarantee you right now that he is looking at JT kind of side-eyed going, come on, bro, what's up? You know, let's go. Let's get this thing together. Let's get it going. Because the first two periods were like that. The third period, it's like JT came to life. And I think.
Okay, I actually have some analysis on that, or at least my theory on it. So, you know, just kind of like a hockey team or a baseball team, basketball team, whatever. Commentators, they also have to, you know, same as content creation. You know, you have to have some level of chemistry with your co-host, correct? Like,
sure.
You know, you can have some like awkward moments if you don't have that built-in chemistry. And so JT would have, you know, a rep and like a way we do things with John Forslund. Who we would normally work with. And John Forslund has been doing this for 25 years.
Sure.
And is probably rather set in his ways on how he does things. And he probably is the type of guy that says, you know, just keep yourself on mute. And when I'm ready for you to talk, I'll call your name. And so that's what JT does when he's working with John. He's like, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, I'm relatively inexperienced when it comes to color commentary. Mm-hmm. You know, John's my mentor. He's going to kind of just like guide me through the game. So Fitz comes in, and when he's working, I think he's probably used to working with the color, with his chemistry with the color guy, is he would stop, and if he stopped, that means it's time for the color guy to chime in and say something. So for the first two periods, JT is like, well, I'm waiting for him to call on me, and Fitz is like, I'm waiting for him to talk.
Right, because on the
third, there was probably a talk behind the scenes, like, hey, man, like, you know, when I stop talking, that's your time to jump in. I don't need to say your name every time. The guy's like, oh, crap, sorry, man. Like, you know, when I work with John, he's like, when he wants me to chime in, he'll say my name so I know to chime in. You know,
well,
what I believe happened, it was more or less that, you know, you're throwing two guys together that, technically speaking, have never really worked together,
exactly.
So, like, it's the first time experience together, and it probably took two periods for them to, like, knock off some of that rust.
Yeah, and that could very well be. And I was going to say that I'm listening to Fitz on the radio. Yeah, those guys, man, they never stop talking. I mean, as soon as, like, Fitz, like, goes to take a breath, the other guy is right there. So, yeah.
That's a built-up chemistry, and I'm assuming that probably works roughly the same way as on TV, except the style is just a little different, where John will be like, blah, 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 JT, what did you think? Where he, you know, throws the mic over to him, and then JT will say his piece, throw it back to John, it goes that way.
And with that being said, though, Glenn, yesterday's game, and I brought this out to Grammy, and she noticed it too. Yesterday's game, JT was more involved in the game. So whenever John would say, you know, be talking to that, and then whenever John would, you know, there'd be like a little break in the action, and John would catch his breath, boom, JT was right there. Bam, right in there with the comment.
That's him getting experience as a color commentator as well, though. You're thinking about it. He's still learning his job. He's still getting used to it. He's still getting used to, like, you know, what am I going to say? Like, you're doing color commentary. It's not like you can make a whole bunch of notes ahead of the game on what just happened.
No,
you got to learn how to be able to, like, okay, well, now I need to talk for a minute on what happened on that play. And you got to be, like, be able to do it, like, now. It's not like, you give me 10 minutes while I figure this out in my head. It's like, no, like, this is the replay. Talk about it. Go.
Mm-hmm. So, like, after yesterday's game, my whole concept and feel and feelings about JT changed totally, because I really enjoyed the team yesterday. I really enjoyed John and JT yesterday. I thought, well, there you go. Now they've got it. Now they're clicking, you know.
I wonder if part of that is that they realized that the Kraken are playing absolutely awful, and if they want to keep people in, they better be entertaining, because the Kraken weren't doing much to help them.
I'm sure they did think that.
You know, it's like, well, these guys are playing awful. Like, we're going to have to step up our game if we're going to keep people watching this horrible crap.
Yeah, we need to keep people tuned in, so we better pick it up a notch.
So, like, I guess we can, we've been talking around the corner, around the bush, about the game last night against the Canucks, which Kraken lost 5-2. The first period wasn't bad. They were competitive. And all of a sudden, the second period, things happened, and I don't know what happened, but they came out, and all of a sudden, they forgot how to play hockey.
Ah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean,
agree with you.
I said that they took some adult substances between the second and third period. I just didn't know what the hell was going on anymore. But, you know, this is not the podcast to get too much into detail on that, so I won't.
Yeah, it's almost like they just flipped the... They flipped the switch and went, okay. I'm kind of done now. You know, yeah. I made the comment too in the comment sections. It's like it's almost to me like they just spent more time just skating around, following the other team. They were just following them around. You know, okay, they're gonna go offense. Well, let's go down there. All right, let's at least, you know, follow them into our side of the, oh, they're going to go back. Okay, let's go there. It's like, are they being trained? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Well, the second period was particularly bad. And it wasn't even like the Canucks were playing particularly well. They weren't playing that great either. It's just the Kraken managed to play that much worse than the Canucks, who weren't playing that good. Which was scary.
I got to agree with you.
Some of the plays that the Vancouver Canucks are doing were just as awful as Seattle, except Seattle couldn't score on them, which was the only reason the game wasn't, like, you know, like 12-8 by the third period. And the third period, as you suggested on Twitter, they're just chasing people around. Well, it is kind of what they were doing, but it was chasing people around with an intent. All of a sudden, the third period, they probably got yelled at a lot, and they decide that we better get out here and at least make ourselves look like we have some sort of self-respect, or else the flight back to Seattle isn't going to be very fun, and the lead up to tomorrow's game against the Islanders also isn't going to be a whole lot of fun. So, if we want to enjoy ourselves, we better at least make a good last impression, because the first wasn't very good.
I went into yesterday's game actually thinking they could win this. They could win this game. And then after the first period, I'm going, yeah, they could win this game, you know. But it's like, it's almost like they heard me say that and went, we'll show you. we're not going to win this game.
Well, actually, just like on the whole road trip itself, I felt they had a chance to win in Winnipeg. They definitely had a chance to win in Calgary. And then in Vancouver, up until the second period, they definitely had a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
They definitely had a chance in all three games, except all of a sudden in the second, they just threw in the towel. And by the end of the game, they set the team record for most shots given up in a game.
I totally agree with you. It's like they could have won any one of those games. But I think the difference between the first two games and this game last night is the opposing team. Like you said, these guys last night, it's like they weren't really playing that much better than the Kraken. But the other two teams, the other two nights, those guys, they were determined not to lose to the Kraken.
Yeah,
you know?
there was more of a sense of urgency to win the game.
Right.
The Canucks really aren't that good. I mean, they've got really lucky this year. Thatcher Demko, their goalie, has been absolutely outstanding for them all year, which has made them look like relatively average as a team, but they're not. They're actually probably closer to what Kraken are than what their record would suggest. They're not that good. They've got some really good goaltending, which has led to some like 3-1 wins where they shouldn't have won the game because like the Kraken, they got outshot like 38-12 or something. Uh-huh. But you know, they got lucky. So they got it that way, and it's just they fired their coach as we've seen, they hired Cammy Granato from the Kraken as assistant general manager. So you can see that the team isn't exactly under firm footing per se, considering they're replacing their whole front office and their coach was replaced, I think, mid year. Like at the beginning of the season they brought Boudreaux in.
So, Glenn, let me ask you a question as a novice then. So, I mean, how do you go from, because of the bounce of the puck, how do you go to where you start getting the puck to do what you want it to do? It's like you said, they're making the same types of shots, but the Kraken, the puck just won't bounce where you want it. Where the other team, they take this basically the same shot, and the puck does what they want. I don't understand that. If I was a player, I'd be very frustrated.
Well, the Kraken don't have the same type of skill that other teams would have built through drafting. Jordan Eberle, Yanni Gord, who's the other big one that they got?
McCann,
yeah. All three of them are very good players. Like they're good on the Kraken. We're all like, hey, yeah, these are very good players. Let's keep them around. But when they were on other teams, they were second and third liners. They weren't first line guys.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. So,
yeah, these guys aren't your top end NHL players. They're putting up good numbers and look like they're probably in that close to that echelon, but they're not. They're very, very good players. That they're not guys that are gonna like turn the needle as far as winning. You know, they're not guys that for the most part you can expect to lead your team to glory. They're guys that you want to have around. When your team is winning, but they're not going to be the keys to winning. Yanni Gord won 2 Stanley Cups with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's playing on the third line. And the reason that they won the Cup is because they had Yanni Gord on the third line. You know, it was depth. Whereas our third line, some of those players might not even be in the NHL if they're on a Stanley Cup contender.
Oh,
so
okay.
When you look at it, a lot, it's like, it's not that the Seattle Kraken have bad players, or, you know, it's just that they don't have any game changers. You know, it's let's look at baseball. It'd be like when the Houston Astros were rebuilding. You know, they had some good pieces. You know, Altuve I think was with the team, Bergman, like those guys, but they didn't have any pitching, right? You know, they didn't have any pitching. Once they got the pitching, well, now the hitting was already there. Now things are starting to come together. And it's the same thing with Seattle. Right now they're at square one. So it's like the Houston Astros, and they lost 120 games that first year. There was nobody there. Yes, there were some okay players that, you know, hit 20 home runs, had 80 RBIs or whatever. But, you know, it's like, that guy's not the guy you're going to say, that's the guy we need to win a World Series. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
they're an okay player. They're an okay player. They're, you can put them on the field and they're going to, you know, they're going to perform reasonably. But they're not going to make you a winner. And that's what the Kraken have right now. They have a bunch of guys that are going to play the game. They're not going to look bad. They're good. But they're not game changers. So, like, You look at Bernier's, our second overall pick from last year. He's a guy that we play Boston in a few days, but he's a guy that's being compared to Patrice Bergeron.
The guy's out here working on my roof.
Oh.
And I've got everything closed up. It's their air,
the drill, yeah.
Their air blower or whatever. Yeah, they're blowing things off. Ah, for crap.
That's okay.
Sorry.
We'll deal with it. I just throw you off. I'm like, what the hell is he drilling over there?
Oh, I'm busy. I'm multitasking. I'm building stuff. And no, I'm just kidding around.
It's like, this is happy hour, Glenn. I'm having a beer, drilling some stuff. Maybe later I'll go smack Grammy on the butt and ask Russ for supper. You never know.
That's funny. I'm laughing because when I got into podcasting, I was a co-host with my son on Dreadnought 928.
Yeah.
And that's what would happen. We'd be doing the podcast and I'd be sitting in my shop doing stuff, you know, building. And he'd do that to me. I'm like, what's that noise? What are you doing? And he'd be hearing staple guns going off. Dicka, dicka, dicka. You know, I'd be filing things. I'm just working on a birdhouse here while we're talking. So, sorry, Glenn.
Wasn't even you. It was the people that are working on your house.
Yeah. It's funny. I forgot that they do make noise.
After that nice little interlude into something that has absolutely no relation to what we're going with, I guess that means I can take a really harsh segue back on topic. And Grubauer's play on against the Calgary Flames was absolutely outstanding. I think he had like 9 or 10 nine-bell saves to where I was kind of slouched in my chair, and immediately I was on the edge of my chair waiting for the replay, like, holy cow, what was that? And that also leads me into another hockey slang term for Jim, my young winger, I said a young 68 years old, on another hockey slang term, which is stoned, which it defines a really good save by a goalie. The player got stoned on a breakaway would be an example sentence of that hockey slang term.
Now, are you saying stoned or stole?
Stoned.
Stoned.
Like,
okay.
Like the biblical punishment or something kids do behind high school.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I got you now. Wink, wink. Yeah. I got you now.
Yeah.
That's a great term. I'm trying
my best to keep this relatively kid-friendly. So if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to try and keep it as vague as possible, so only the adults get it.
I think we're doing a good enough. I think we're doing a good job. I really do. But so yeah, so that's saying that the guy making the shot got stoned, or Grubauer got stoned.
Grubauer stoned him. So
stoned
like,
him. Okay.
He was like a stone wall, essentially. I think it's like
right.
Stone walled. I guess would be how it would be. Would be like the full thing, but they just shortened it up. So it's just stoned instead of stonewalled.
Oh my gosh, that is so loud. I am so sorry, Glenn.
It's okay. There's like noise reduction tools that usually can cut most of it out. Next time it starts, we'll just both be silent for a couple seconds so I have the sample.
All right. But anyway, that's a great tone. That's a great term. And you know what? Yeah, I mean, like I said, looking at all this brand new novice eyes, man, that guy, the last three games, Grub was, I mean, well, Grub didn't play in the last one. He played, it was
Drieger.
Yeah.
Who hadn't played in 10 days when they threw him in the net. So that's why when I heard that, I was like, oh, he's going to give up a goal early. And of course, shot of the game, 12 seconds in, gives up a goal. And of course, that doesn't help the Kraken at all. Because at that point, they're like, oh, God, here we go again.
Yeah. But the rest of the game, I mean, he started clicking and firing on all cylinders, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, as much as he kind of like really crapped the bed on the first shot, by the second and third period, he was the only reason that game wasn't 9-3. You know, it's like as much as he, you know, he definitely made up for himself and ended up having like a really nice save percentage on the night because he faced like 50 shots and gave up five goals. So, I mean, that's still like 90%.
Well, we got to remember, you know, he got scored on that first score. He got scored on because of that muffin.
Yeah.
Was that right?
Did I use muffins in that game? You did use that correctly, actually. Very proud of you, Jim.
Thanks, man.
Young Jedi.
you're my sensei. You're my mentor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes this whole shit kind of funny is the fact that you're twice my age, yet I'm calling you Young Jedi.
I know. It is funny. And I appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah. It's like a nice shot to the ego every time I say young. So I have a fun story about Daryl Sutter as a coach. He's the coach of the Calgary Flames, and he's also been known. He's known to be like a dad type coach. Like, know what you're saying at the beginning of the show, like you need that dad figure just to come and shake you and yell in your face for a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, he's that guy. You know, he's the type of guy that in the morning, before the game, he's gonna come over and he's gonna ask you how are your kids, how's your wife. Are your kids doing in school? How are your kids doing in school? Blah, blah, blah. How's your mom? How's your dad? You know, that type of thing. You're like, truly concerned about you as a person. You know, it's not just about hockey. Like, he understands you are a person and, like, you have things going on and he wants to know about it. He wants to know how your family's doing, how the kids are doing, and any cool stories, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
When you screw up in a hockey game, that's a totally different story. Now you get angry dad, the coach. And so Jamie Cledden was a backup goalie for him. Now he does radio, and he tells the story about one night he was starting the game as a backup, so kind of like Rodriguez was doing last night. So anyway, he goes in the net or whatever, and you know he gives up five goals, and then gets hooked partway through the second period. And so after the game, Daryl Sutter wants to see him in the office. He's got like the whiteboard out or whatever, and he goes, "Hey Jamie, how's it going?" And he goes, "If you were to grade yourself, F to A, how would you say you are in the room?" And he's like, "Well, I don't know. I think I'm a pretty positive guy. I keep you guys going, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "You know, I'd probably give myself probably a B, B, A, whatever." And he goes, "You're right. You are great in the room. You're awesome with the guys. A." And so then he goes, "So, you know, in your preparation and like working out, how do you think you're doing that?" And he goes, "Well, you think I'm pretty in shape and, you know, I do a pretty good job." And he goes, "Okay, yeah, I see you in the gym all the time. Yeah, I'd say you're probably a B+. Huh, you know, I feel pretty good about myself here."
Yeah, pretty good report card so far.
Yeah, pretty good report card. He's like, "This is better than I did in high school, you know?"
Yeah.
And all the others said, he goes, "And how are you when you go in and start a game for me? How do you do?" And he goes, "Well, I think freaking F." And he just screams in his face. And he's like, "Freaking F. You're horrible! You're awful! I can't stand it! Get the heck out of my office!" and he's telling the story. He's like, I didn't walk out of the office. I crawled. Because I was now like a baby, just crawling out of the office after getting my head chewed off.
Oh my gosh. He yelled at him so hard, he blew his skin right off his skeleton.
Yeah. But the thing for Coach Daryl Sutter is, you know, he's, as much as he loves you, he's not scared to also make you feel like you're about 3 inches high if you screw up. But if you perform, you're going to be one of those guys that's going to get like all sorts of praise from him too. So what were your thoughts on the 3-0 win against the Islanders last time? Do you remember the game at all?
The one that we got beat 3-0?
No, we beat the Islanders 3-0.
Oh, we beat them 3-0. Oh, man, I love that game. I love that game. And for one reason, I just love seeing them win. The guy's married to my my kids' mom. Joe, and he's an Islander fan. So we've been kind of going at each other all season, you know, especially at the beginning when the Kraken were actually had a better season than the Islands daughter. And so anyway, we go at each other. And so I was like, "Hey, how'd you like the way the Islanders played today?" He goes, "Shut up." So it was good. But I don't know about the game tonight, though. I don't know. It all depends on the mental conditioning of the Kraken going into this game. You know?
Well, a lot of the time, like, you'll hear about players playing guilty. So, if, like, they went out the night before a game and, you know, like, feel like a bag of crap. A lot of the time, they'll have, like, one of the best games of the year because they're guilty. So, this might be another one of those games where the Kraken got, like, a guilt trip about how they played last night.
Uh-huh.
So, maybe that they'll, like, perform really good. But like yourself, I'm kind of thinking it's the back half of back-to-backs, and I'm not horribly confident. I think hockey picks, I did pick the Islanders to win. So I'm going to stick with that because, you know, I don't want to talk out both sides of my mouth.
Right. Well, I got to agree with you. I think, as much as I hate to say it, I think the Islanders are going to come in on a mission because they got, you know, they got spanked the last time in their ice. They got spanked by the Kraken, and they're going to come in here. And they're going to repay the favor. I think they're coming in on a mission. They're going to come in and put it to the Kraken. They want, the Islanders want this win. They're going to come in and say, we want you. We're going to come in and we're going after you. So I'm with you. I predict the Islanders are going to win.
Just so we only have like more games before we record again, so there's no sense. We don't have to dwell on this one too much. And then we play the Bruins and Predators. Both teams we've struggled with so far this year. Bruins we lost to last time, and it was an ugly game, and everybody was very angry with the Boston Bruins.
Lost you.
We get to see our little ball of hate again. Very exciting, eh? My internet's going in and out, so we'll just call this an episode. We'll just close her out, and we'll call this an episode, and then we'll just talk about the games next week.
All right, buddy. That sounds good to me.
Instead of trying to fight through it.
And I hate doing that.
Sound like after. I'm not a big fan of fighting either. It's just going to annoy both of us, and then it's just not going to be fun anymore.
Are you using Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was having all kinds of problems, too. I called my cable company because I've been crying and whining at them about my Wi-Fi.
And, oh, yeah, you went wired, eh?
I went hardwire, and I haven't had a problem since. Huh. I went hardwire. I went that Ethernet connection, they call it, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I hardwired my modem into my computer, and, man, it has been perfect.
Yeah, so, my internet wasn't usually an issue just because, well, I would generally just record right on Audacity, which doesn't use internet. So the only time I really needed to worry about the internet was when I was uploading it.
Sure. I'm not a tech guy.
Me either. All right, so I'll just do a quick closing. You can do your podcast plug, and then we'll close her up. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to episode 11 of Tentacles from the Deep, a Seattle Kraken podcast. Once again, thanks to Jim on his new promotion, or thanks to Jim, and congratulations, Jim, on his new title on the show as the Rookie Winger. Jim, do you want to tell them about your other show? And any last words, I guess.
Yeah. Well, first off, again, thank you for the promotion, and I appreciate it. I'm going to wear it as a badge of honor. And I love talking hockey. I like being here talking hockey with you, Glenn. It's a great time and a great show. I just love it. And, yeah, you can catch me with my podcast, which is the Old Man's Podcast with Dina, Joe, and Eric. We go live every morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. On the Podbeam, you can catch us live, or you can download us on any of your favorite platforms. We're out there on all kinds of platforms. You can download the show later. But, man, I'm loving this hockey thing. I'm loving this hockey, and I just appreciate you. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. All right, I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk again next week as we break down more Seattle Kraken games and probably teach Jim about more slang terms for his hockey games. So keep sound. Like a real hockey guy. Probably by the end of the season.
That's my goal.
Thank you, everyone, and talk to you next time, Jim.